Part 4 of Meditation for Body, Mind, and Spirit. So yesterday I introduced the Padmasambhava mantra, Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. This mantra symbolizes the essence or spirit becoming form, like Yodhe Vauhe. But there is more packed into these few words, and I'd like to share with you my take on that. In doing so, we're going down a fairly deep rabbit hole, as we're going to use this mantra to consider some of the core philosophies shared among a number of traditions of pure mysticism. Now, if this kind of exploration doesn't interest you, that's totally fine, and you may wish to skip over this talk. If you'd like to hear more mantras from other traditions, the next talk continues with some other mantras. Today we're going to get off the bus and explore this particular mantra, looking at some of the core spiritual concepts that it alludes to. I suspect that there are a few of you that will find it informative. Okay, but a few preliminaries, such as, what do I mean by pure mysticism? As I mentioned earlier, mysticism is the quest for direct, personal, spiritual experience. The traditions of spirituality or mysticism had no allegiance to any sect or religion, even when they lived and practiced in and around a given religion. Like Jesus, their perspective was great orders of magnitude above their religious identity. They were the exact opposite of the religious extremists that we become all too familiar with, proudly murdering and pillaging for their faith, subscribing to religious communalism and violent proselytism. That is religion as a source of division and craziness. They may be religious in the most superficial sense, but they are in no way spiritual. Spirituality always unites. Basically, as far as the great mystics, their ashrams or retreats or homes or temples were schools of spiritual awakening with awakened souls at their center. They were for all humanity, as they had understood the essential unity and sacredness of life. They had no enmities. They taught pure mysticism, how to have the direct experience of spirit, how to be born again, and experience greater and greater unity or emergence with the divine within, what the Sufis termed fana fi Allah. As Jesus said, one birth is of the flesh, and one is of the spirit. Unfortunately, rituals, emotionalism, and politics have taken the place of a direct experience of spirit. True spiritual experience transcends emotions, opinions, and beliefs. So in describing some of these ideas for you, my intention is to deepen your understanding of what these traditions were about at the center. I might add that for all of them, meditation was central. Okay, so once again, the mantra. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. The meaning of the phrase itself would be something like this. The radiant essence flashing forth as Guru, lotus-like, sitting above the material realm, perfect in power, fully manifested. So this mantra is describing the unity of the fully enlightened human being or guru with the divine essence, Om. The Satguru or truly realized guru, as opposed to a guru in name only, is one with the word or Om. They have become one and the same power. Guru has merged in Om and eliminated a separate existence. The phrase Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum is very close in meaning to the Gospel of John, where it is written at the very outset, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what is meant by in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Om Ahum signifies the word or Om coming into manifestation, creating worlds upon worlds. Vajra means lightning bolt. It symbolizes the vast hidden force that is the energy of the universes. It also stands for light and for sound, for where there is lightning, there is also thunder. Light and sound are the fundamental expression of the word. The term Vajra also emphasizes the idea of vast power, which is magnified by the term Siddhi. Siddhi generally is used to refer to metaphysical powers, but in the mantra it really refers to the all-powerful guru or spiritual master, who is in perfect harmony with the word. Vajra Guru also suggests the radiant, luminous form of the guru that is beheld on the spiritual planes, when the advanced meditator rises above body consciousness, penetrates the initial stages of inner light, and has a vision of the spiritual form of the guru in the golden light. Word and Om have precisely the same meaning. Other terms in other cultures include Shabd, Nam, Kalma, the call, the voice of the silence, the music of the spheres, the Holy Ghost. All refer to the creative power or the power of the source coming into expression, forming time and space. This power is called various terms that all pertain to the idea of sound, again referring to the sound and light as one with the Creator and the basic energy of creation. You know, there are many movies online that show what happens when tones are passed across a sensitive surface covered in sand. Immediately, the sand begins to form geometric patterns. Similarly, the vibration of the radiant word brings all of existence, known and unknown, into being. As it does so, there are geometric patterns that repeat throughout nature, like the sand on the sensitive surface. The ancients were fascinated by the orderly interactions of sun, earth, moon, and stars, and their observations were reflected in their art, architecture, and music, as they tried to harmonize human civilization with the word, as expressed in the remarkable patterns of nature. The word, or Om, is the life principle itself, conscious spirit, what I have been terming the essence. What do we mean by conscious spirit? The Creator is characterized by absolute consciousness. Since the creative power is identical with its source, consciousness is the foundation of creation. However, where consciousness is fully manifest in the Creator, it is latent in material creation, sleeping within material creation. It is part of the Shakti or energy of creation and is seen in the patterns of nature, yet consciousness itself remains largely hidden. It requires an excruciating process of cosmic and planetary evolution for even minuscule forms to appear that can exercise consciousness in any way. Even then, consciousness shows itself in living nature primarily through instinctive behavior, not the free expression or extension of awareness and creative intelligence. Even human beings are heavily conditioned by instinct. So nature continually evolves as if consciousness itself were seeking finer and finer vehicles for the expression of its latent potential. Again, John 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." And we now understand that the meaning is simply that there is no difference between the all-conscious source and the source extending forth as the power that pervades and drives creation. The gospel then goes on to say, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Of course, this refers in the gospel to Jesus as the manifestation of the Word. For other schools of spirituality, though, the idea that there is only one God-man who appears in history and again at the end of time is not at all how they see it. In their concept, there is never a time when the Word made flesh is not manifested somewhere on earth, incarnating the highest potential of human consciousness that is latent in everyone, which is conscious unity with the Source, the all-conscious Creator. The conscious being knows this world is not their home and is drawn to search for the source of consciousness itself, like the salmon struggling upstream. The Guru has completed that journey and is one with the Word or Om. So the highest meaning of Guru, or the Paramsant Satguru, in the eyes of the Eastern traditions, including among certain sects of the Muslim Sufis who use the term Pir o Murshid, or the ancient Gnostics who used the term the alien man, the man who is alien to the material world, is someone that has completely dissolved their separate identity in spirit, or the ocean of consciousness, and is now purely a vehicle through which spiritual power is present in creation as conscious spirit manifested in human form. In a way, it could be said that the Guru represents a living being who is manifesting that power that is latent in each person and is calling us to awaken that power in ourself. So just as John 1 is explaining the Trinity of Spirit, spiritual power coming forth as the Word, and the Word made flesh, so the Vajra Guru Mantra is very similar in its essential message. There are many other dimensions to this kind of discussion, but really, I think it's time to crawl out of the rabbit hole and move along. And of course, I hope everyone appreciates that this notion of the Guru is a theory, concept, an ideal, and the vast majority of those in the role of Guru by no means fit the bill. Nevertheless, the importance of spiritual guidance by an advanced practitioner is central to virtually all of the traditions of spirituality, and we will meet it again briefly. So finally, again, the Padmasambhava mantra. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pemme Siddhi Hum. This is meditation 2 for grounding and Jyoti meditation. In our meditation today, we'll be taking up the use of a mantra, which can be any word or phrase or name of God that is meaningful to you. In talks 3 through 5, we'll be discussing mantras, and you can download the list of mantras if you'd like to choose one to use. Today we'll begin again by ensuring that you are sitting in an upright position with your back straight, whether in a chair or cross-legged, that allows you to sit comfortably without moving for some time. Close your eyes, releasing all tension on the eyes and the forehead, and resolve to be fully present, letting go of all of the concerns of your daily life. This is a time for you, a time to draw within and consciously align yourself in mind, body, and spirit. Allow yourself to be here fully. Feel the easy and natural sensation of your wholeness. As you turn your attention within, settling, relaxing, and grounding inside your body as a whole. We're going to begin with attention to our breath as a natural vehicle for becoming more grounded and relaxed within oneself. We're going to do some deep abdominal breathing for relaxation and become more fully present in the body. Breathe by drawing the air in from the back of the nose and throat, using your belly as a bellows, expanding to draw the breath down, filling the belly, and then filling the lungs to the top. Pausing, and then compressing the belly, and in turn the lungs, while pressing the air out from the back of the throat, which will automatically draw the air upward from below. Allow the air to fully release and then pause. Then again, expanding the belly and drawing the air down from the back of the nose and throat. Allow the residual air to gradually fill your lungs, then pause. And gradually collapsing your belly, allow the air to flow out slowly. Your chest also gradually draws in as the residual air in the lungs also flows out. When you are empty of breath, there is a natural pause. Now again, draw down the air, expanding your belly, and gradually opening and filling your lungs, pausing for a few seconds, and then gradually emptying by compressing your belly and your lungs again. While gently pushing the air out from the back of your throat. The soothing, calming, deep breath will energize your entire system and allow you to feel the comfort and integration of your whole body. Allow yourself to feel your wholeness, relaxed and present. Now that you are quite relaxed and free of tension in any part of the body, we're going to allow our attention to come away from the body below and rest at its natural center behind the eyes. Allow the breathing to go on naturally and automatically without any attention or awareness. Relax your eyes fully, as if going to sleep. And with eyes closed, but straight, fix your inner gaze into the middle of the darkness lying in front of you. You are gazing not at a fixed point, but a small area about 8 to 10 inches in front of you. Slowly repeat any word or phrase that is meaningful to you as a way to help maintain your concentration. Attempt to fix your attention so much so that you are continuing to look steadily straight ahead into the darkness, but with absolutely no tension on the eyes or forehead. While slowly repeating your mantra, maybe at intervals, so that your gaze is not disturbed. It is an effortless effort. There is no strain and no exertion whatsoever. It is purely a gesture of the attention, an effortless effort. If you are able to do this for some time, you may find that you experience flashes of light. You may see lights of different colors. And if you are able to maintain your concentration, losing yourself in your gaze, you may see blue sky. You may see clouds in the sky. You might see stars, moon, or even the brightness of the sun. Whatever you see, whether darkness or light, continue looking into the middle of it. If thoughts come up, just continue to come back to your gaze and your mantra. So continue to look intently, minutely, penetratingly to see what is there in the field of darkness lying in front of you. Yet there is no clutching for one thing or another, just rapt attention. Again, it is an effortless effort. We will now continue this silently for 10 minutes, maintaining our attention, looking into the middle of whatever appears in front of you, whether it be darkness or light, and continuing to repeat the mantra you have selected. In about 10 minutes, I will invite you to leave off your meditation. Thank you. we can now leave off meditation. Breathe and again become present in the body. This Jyoti meditation on light, or third eye meditation, can be practiced daily to have inner experiences of spiritual light. It will strengthen your concentration, your physical balance, and inner peace, and give you greater direct apprehension of the spiritual nature of life. As you become comfortable with the process, I would encourage you to increase your time to 20 minutes, half an hour or more. 45 minutes to an hour is really ideal. Sometimes you will have to sit through the mind's noise, but sometimes it takes half an hour or more to really get deep enough for long enough to experience the greater benefits that go with prolonged meditation. If there are questions regarding what you have experienced, please don't hesitate to write. Now have a wonderful rest of your day.